Chof Hei Tevis, 6th of January, Rabbi Avram Goldhar, how to develop an amazing memory for learning.
Hi, good morning. It's a great honor to be here with the Torah Way. I was here a number of years ago, and it's beautiful. I see the place finish has been renovated. It's beautiful. Thank you very much for having me participate. I'm from Toronto, originally, but I live in Passaic, New Jersey now, and I'm here for a tour speaking at school, so it's a great honor, and it's over shared. The learning about what's kashua shikha. Today we're going to deal with, actually, you know, straight out shikha, things we do just straight out to forget, and more importantly, what we can do to remember our learning. Whenever I meet with students, yesterday I was at a number of schools, and I always ask this question: how well should you learn? How well should you learn? I've asked thousands of students this question, and 99 times out of 100, the answer I get, or 99 times out of 1,000 is, I should learn to the best of my ability. I should learn to the best of my ability. So I said, well, you know, it seems to be sensible, I should learn to the best of my ability, but I say, you know, if someone wanted to go to a medical school, in the United States they have the MCATs, the entrance exams, and they, let's say they failed miserably on the entrance exams, should they admit them into a medical school? And the kids say, of course not. I said, let's say someone got into medical school and he failed the final. Should they certify him as a doctor? And they say, of course not. So I said, right, because in medical school there are standards. And in most fields there are standards. You don't want to go to a doctor and put your life in his hands if he's not qualified. So in Torah there are standards. There is a standard for how well we're expected to learn. What is the standard that we are expected to learn at? We say it twice a day. In the Shema, and once before, Vishinantam Venefa. Vishinantam Venefa. Rashi says, Vishinantam Venefa. Why Vishinantam? Someone asks you a question, you should answer me yad, you should not be magam game. You shouldn't hesitate. Someone asks you a question, you should answer the question immediately without any hesitation. Can I trouble with you? Just ask me, your first name is?
Yeah.
And can I ask you for your first name?
Shimon.
And your last name?
Yitzchak.
There you go. I ask the questions. The answer right away, that's how well we should know everything. You're not a gum game, they know that material really well. That's how well we are expected to know our learning. So the question is, how's that possible? How is it possible the Torah could give us a standard? You shouldn't be a gum game, you shouldn't hesitate, you should answer a question immediately. So ask students, well, what would be some strategies we would do to possibly get to that point that we know our learning that well? What would be some things we would do? So mnemonics, right? Mnemonics. We could use memory tricks to do it. What else would we do to know our learning very well?
Chazorah.
Chazorah is king. You have to do lots of chazorahs. You know, what else would we do?
If you make sure that you understand it.
Right. Make sure you have the clarity of the understanding of it. Concentrate. People say teach, take notes. I'm a big fan of taking notes. There's lots of things to do, but I'm going to suggest today.
Have a good night's sleep.
That is actually good. Noah Horowitz spoke about that last night. He brought down from Simcha Wasserman. He said, I think the Erev Yivoker. He says we learn from that night is part of the preparation for the Voker. Right? So you need a good night's sleep.
Absolutely.
But I want to suggest the Erev Yivoker. Anyway, I want to suggest that while all those strategies are great, there is one approach, one skill that trumps them all, that is sort of like the master, and that's organization. When things are organized, that I believe is the key to everything, to memory, to understanding, to clarity, to review. Everything changes when you have an organized mind. I'm originally from Toronto, Canada, as I said. I get to New York City my very first day in Manhattan. What do they do in Manhattan? Even though there's 10,000 streets, a tourist can find their way around the city with the minutes of getting to the city. What do? The city planners, to make it really easy.
Number the streets.
They number the streets, right? They created a grid. I used to live on the Upper West Side. I lived on 77th. I worked on 83rd. I taught in 89th and also in 75th. You know how many blocks in which direction I had to go because it's all organized. When the mind is organized, it's amazing how quickly and effectively you can learn. So today we're going to focus on the key to an amazing memory is an organized mind. And I want to suggest that it's a strange thing. We all know memories about association. But I believe that most people have the wrong association to memory. Because when we think of memory, we think of memory tricks. You know, you go to a seminar and someone teaches you how to memorize a deck of cards or how to meet 300 people in an afternoon and remember all their names, which is great if you're in the business of memorizing decks of cards or meeting a lot of people at once. But that's all memory that when things aren't sticking, how to stick it. But the key memory, or I believe is the most powerful memory, is what I call expert memory. Expert memory is when you understand something very well in an organized, structured way, you become a bucky in it because everything is very masseuder. For example, do you have any boys that know everything about every stat in certain sport? They can tell you years, who won, all the different, you know, boys like that or people like that? Say yes. There's got to be some, right? Do they ever use memory tricks? No. They've never used memory tricks because they don't need it, because in their mind, they have the machias of whatever they enjoy and love, and every new trot fits in. So even though it's a specific stat, it fits into their brain because it clarifies, because they're filling in the details. So the key is an organized mind. So I want to give you a start, even though we're focusing on Gemara, I'm going to start with different ways to begin, the way I began for myself. First of all, I always found Chumash very frustrating, just Chumash alone. I'd get back to Parshios in the year. Sometimes I feel like I'm starting back at Breshis. You know, I can get the Mishpatim, Kiseitze, Boloscha, Matos. Sometimes when I'm opening the Parsha, I felt like I'm kind of back at square one. What's in that Parsha again? And I found after a number of years, it's just even the Chumash felt very fragmented to me. So what I did was I took the Psuchas and the Stumas in the Chumash. Right? There are 54 Parshas, but altogether, the Psuchos and the Stumos, all the little Parshios in the Chumash, if you add them all together, how many Psuchos and Stumos are there in the Chumash? Take a guess. Say 613. Wouldn't that be very good if there were 613? There's not, but there's 668. So what I did, I was advising people to do, was I made some money for every single Psucho and Stumo in the Chumash. Right? From the first day in Bereshis, or for the first, and then Rikia. I labeled everyone. Or Rikia, Yami, Moros, Ophos, Adam, Shabbos, Ket, Isha, Isha, Grusha, Kain, Adam, Shays, Enosh, Kainam, Ala, Yer, Kenob. And so if you do five a day at 668 in 4 months, at just remembering five words a day, I had the entire organization, the Chumash, in my mind. So I can go through Parshios and from Bereshis to Zosabrach. It takes about 10 minutes to Chazar, all the Aduchazar and all the 668. So 2 minutes a day on Bereshis, 2 minutes a day is on Shavuos, 10 minutes a week, and I can keep the Chumash organized in my mind. But what happened when I did it, and by the way, the Chumash, we have this impression, it's a lot, it takes a year to go through the Chumash, but the Chumash, when you just actually look at the Psukim, it's a grand total on this Chumash, which is just the Psukim, it's the Koran Tanakh, it's a grand total of 327 pages. The entire Chumash is just 300, it's not even the entire book, this is also a Siddur. So it's only 327 pages. How hard could it be to remember the basic structure of 327? How long would it take to go through 327 pages of a book this size? Not long, but we're under the impression, because we go slowly and we get mind and things and we don't look for the structure, that's very easy to get lost. So that's one simple way just to build. And what I did was, just with Chumash, I decided that I'm going to learn, read a Parsha a day. I'd read a Parsha, I'd call it Parsha Yomi. I'd read a Parsha a day, just the Psukim. And if you do a Parsha day every 54 days, just less than 2 months, it takes to go through the Chumash. And when you start to read a Parsha day, you start to see things naturally connect. So together, with reading a Parsha day, going through the Chumash six times a year with a 10-minute Seder, just takes 10 minutes to read a Parsha. It's 5 or 6 pages in this type of Tanakh, which I advise. All of a sudden, the Chumash really became very accessible. And more importantly, when you start to organize, it starts to shrink. So instead of feeling overwhelmed by how much there was in the Chumash, I really started to see the Chumash shrink in my mind's eye because everything was all connected. So that was step number one. Now when it comes to Gemara, I was asked yesterday by someone, he's starting Bava Kamma. So do I have some Eitzah for him in terms of organizing Bava Kamma? So again, it all begins with organization. So I said, how many Prakim are there in Bava Kamma? First thing you want to know is how many Prakim. One of my rules in learning is quantity before quality. Quantity before quality. You always want to know the number of things you're learning before you qualify them. For example, when you don't know the number of something, you have a list of things, a bunch of facts. You don't know the number. What do you often think? There's more or there's less? More. So not only are you not clear as to how much there is, but you're under the impression it's more confusing than it really is. So you really want to know. So there are 10 prakim in Bava Kama. Great. So the next thing you want to do when you look at a Masechta is, okay, what's the basic organization of the Masechta? So what I've done is organized a basic map for each Masechta. In Bava Kama, the first 6 prakim are the Avos Nezikin. The next parak, Zayin, is Geneva. The next parak is Chov V'Cherut, personal injury. And the last 2 prakim are Gezela. So 6, 1, 1, 2. 10 prakim. The first 6 are Avos Nezikin. Zayin is Geneva. Chov V'Cherut is the Ches. And Tesin Yud is Gezela. 6, 1, 1, 2. And what we do is just by having that, now we have a very simple surah of the Masechta. But you know that first six prakim are connected, then 2 separate topics. And surprisingly, Gezela is not connected to Geneva, but you have Chov V'Cherut in the middle. That's the next step. Because when you learn, there's 2 possibilities of where your learning is going. It's either going nowhere in the mind, or it's going somewhere. If you don't have an address where to put what you're learning, then it just goes into the clutter, the back of the head. And when you want to think about things, you have to sort of rummage through the clutter to find what you found. If you create structure, even a simple structure, and you have the surah of the entire Masechta, before you start with that base, anything you hear in the Masechta is going to go somewhere. So even if something's mentioned earlier in Bava Kama about Gezela, you know Tes and Yud, the last 2 prakim, are the Ikar prakim of Gezela. That would be step number 1 in my mind. I always tell people that, in my mind, the most important place in a base midrash, the spot that's really the defining spot in a base midrash, is the door. Because when you walk out the door, what happens to your learning? And there's 2 possibilities. I call people, there's 2 types of learners. There's inside learners and outside learners. An inside learner is someone that when the Gemara is open, the Chumash is open, they can learn because they see everything inside. But the moment they close the Gemara, they begin what I call learning blur. The learning starts to blur. Ever feel like you learned something just maybe two days ago, but you know, or 3 days ago, so I learned it just recently, I saw it somewhere. Learning starts to blur the moment you close the Gemara, the Chumash, or whatever the Sefer may be. Those are inside learners. An outside learner is someone, they walk out the door, they can have all their learning at their fingertips. And that's really what we're meant to be. Wherever we go. The only way to take your learning outside the Beis HaMidrash is if you package it. You've got to package it somewhere in your mind so you have access to it. And therefore, the key to organization, I believe, is simanim. Simanim, the Gemara said, the Gemara Chumash says, Atakis Luchem Sashiris Azos, what Shabbat is called at the very end of the Chumash, Vasima Bifehem. And the Gemara says, Altikra Sima El Simana. The only way you can take Torah Shabbat Peh, and Sima Bifehem, keep it in your mouth so you can talk about it, is if you package it, if you organize it. If I ask you now, Bava Kama, how many prakim are there? How many prakim are there in Bava Kama?
12.
There are 10 prakim. What did the first 6 prakim deal with?
Chayvim.
Thank you very much. Right then, all of a sudden, when you package things, when someone asks you a question, your mind is going to a specific address. So what you want when you learn is if you learn through a daf, or you learn whatever sugya you're going through, but you don't sum it up into some type of title that says, I'm filing it in my brain under this topic, then when you discuss it, if you don't do that, then you first have to rummage through your mind, try to remember what you were thinking about or learning about or discussing with the chavrusa, and then you've got to formulate an answer. But the next time you're asked about the exact same thing, if you don't make a siman, you're going to go through the exact same exercise. You're going to rummage through your mind, you're going to think about what you talked about, your chavrusa, you heard in shir, and you're going to come up with an answer. But you're always going to have to be refashioning your learning. Whereas if you make a siman for your learning, then all of a sudden your brain, instead of saying, what did you learn today, your brain first goes to the siman, what's the title, and then it unpackages the learning. So the next step I would take in learning a Gemara, I mentioned this man, is that you should go through the Mishnayos. It's just straightforward that if you want to map out a Masechta, you want to organize your mind, you want to become fluent in the Mishnayos. So what I do is with Mishnayos, is I make some money, I go through the Mishnayos, but instead of going through the Mishnah and then turning the page and going to the next Mishnah, I just give it a title. For example, in Baba Kama, there's four Mishnahs in their first parak, and Abbas and Zikin, Arba Abbas. And I say, Arba Hiksharti Shum Chamisha. Those are my synonyms. I come up with one, Arba Abbas and Zikin, Kol Hiksharti Hasnisko is the second, Shum Kesef Shavak Kesef is the third, and Chamisha Dvarah, Chamisha Tami, Chamisha Muladim. Arba Hiksharti Shum Chamisha. And then I have Rego Shein, Rego Shein, Kelv Tina, Kazdadim. And I have like, and I, what I do is I give just a word or two for each Mishnah, just, and I put it on a piece of paper. And I just list the Mishnahs with the simanim, so all of a sudden, on one sheet of paper, after how many days of learning, I have the 10 prakti mapped out in my mind on one sheet of paper. The reason why I like it on one sheet of paper is because I see the entire map in my mind, and it doesn't take long to do a review. It takes about a minute to review the simanim, and that way, when I'm learning, I can now reference easily where things are, I can find things, and most importantly, it's going to be the foundation for all my learning. Every time I chazur, I do chazorah on Baba Kama, those Mishnayas, when you make a siman, even though it's just a label for what we learned today, every time you do chazorah, you discuss it, more understanding is being linked to the siman. The goal of just kind of coming with a title is just giving your brain an address, but every time you discuss the exact same issue, more information naturally is going to be associated to that siman. So that's the next step that I would take. Third thing I would suggest is that there's a basic misconception about chazara. It works like this. Many people go, and they go say they listen to Shir, for example. They go through the Gemara once. Then with their chavrusa, they go through the Gemara a second time. Many people think when they go through the Gemara a second time, do chazara with their chavrusa, they're doing chazara. The reality is they're not doing chazara necessarily, right? When you're in shir, you're listening to someone speak, your mind is processing material. You're listening to someone talk, what is he saying? Am I following along? Am I getting it? When you go ahead and go through the material again, you're not necessarily reviewing. What you're doing with your chavrusa is that you're still working to get clarity. You're still processing the material. Only when you're 100% clear, when you have it down pat, you can go through the Gemara chakra very, very, very quickly. Only when it's all worked out in your brain, only at that point does chazara begin. But until you're 100% clear, you're still on the learning side of the equation, and that's where you're figuring things out. So first you have to hit clarity only when you're 100% clear. Then the amazing thing is chazara is fast and easy. Because you're no longer breaking things down and working things out, you're just reinforcing your knowledge and your understanding so you have a greater kinyan of it. Now, many people find chazara painful. Right? Why do they find chazara painful? Because they're not really doing chazara. They're still learning the material. Once you learn something, it takes what I call the 10% rule. It takes about 10% of the time it takes to learn something to clarity. It takes about 10% of the time to review that material. So for example, if you're going to go through a daf, and just to get the basic chakmatari down and stand up, let's say it's an hour. Just to throw it, you listen to Shir. You're going to get the basic chakra. Let's say it's an hour. On average, it takes about 6 minutes to do chazor and adab, just to lane through the block once you're clear. It takes on average 6, maybe 8 minutes, depending on the size of the block. But it takes about 6. Just once you're clear to read through something, it takes on average about 10% of the time. So as an example, if it takes 6 minutes to do one block of chazor, just reading through it, but you already know it now, how many block can you cover in an hour? 10, right? So if you do the math, it's actually quite amazing. If it takes, you could do 10 blot in an hour, if Bava Metzia has 120 blot, how long would it take to review all of Bava Metzia? 12 hours, right? It would take 12 hours. That would be pretty good. If you do an hour a day, 12 days, twice a month, plus you could go through the entire Masechta once you are clear. So the amazing thing is, the 10% rule is once you get to clarity, everything changes because now you've taken all your learning, and you put it in a format that's so easy to maintain. But what do many people do? They go to Shir, they learn it with their chavrusa, they get to clarity, and then what do most people do once they're clear? They move on. And therefore, all that effort to get clear in something all starts to unravel, and they move on to the next thing. when that was the golden moment, once you're very, very clear on something, that's the time that you'll take a fraction of time to review it, and you can start to maintain it. So we just really, when it comes to having an amazing memory, it's really just having switching the model a little bit by realizing it's not about learning to get to clarity, it's about getting to clarity so you can do review and maintain it. That's the golden moment. Once you're clear, it takes almost no time to do review, and once you start reviewing, you can review a tremendous amount of material. Clear so far? Now, the things I want to suggest is many people make the mistake when it comes to memory the following way. They think to themselves, if I can't remember everything, I can't remember anything. They think to themselves, if I can't remember everything, I can't remember anything, I do not have a good memory because I do not remember everything. And I say it's the other way around. If you can remember anything, you can also remember everything. Provided you just do it in steps. So not everybody has the time and energy. We're busy. We have other things we have to take care of. So not everybody has the time to, let's say, get an entire blot down and keep doing Chazorah, many, many blot they've covered. Like, we have limited time. So that doesn't mean, because you don't have the time to necessarily get blotting down and keep up with all the Chazorah, that's understandable. But just because you can't hold on to every single step in the Gemara, that doesn't mean you can't remember anything from the Gemara. Here's some things you can remember from Gemara. I can remember that Baba Kama has 10 prakim, 6 avos zikin, Geneva, Chov v'Chiron, and Gazela. That's something I can remember. I can remember from a blot, from each Amid, what's one thing I learned. What's one issue, one topic we're learning, and what I would advise people to do, is write it down. Dot base, we learned this topic and that topic. Okay, fine. Next day, dot gimel, we learned this topic, this. Just write down one or two topics. After 10 days, you'll have 10 blot on a sheet of paper. And if you just review what you wrote down on the piece of paper, you can keep connected to what you learned over time, even if it's just one or two in yanim. If someone remembered one or two in yanim from each dot, right, and they just kept it on a sheet of paper, without any memory tricks, and they just reviewed Daf Beis, we learned about this. Kriyashma Barbis, and Daf Gim, we learned about this. And Nishmara, Daf Dal, we learned about this. And you just read it. How long would it take to read 20 different items that you learned over 10 blot? Just on a sheet of paper. A couple minutes, that's it, right? That's it. But the amazing thing is, over time it builds. And just because you can't remember everything right away, doesn't mean you can't remember anything, you can remember a lot. And what people are doing is they're just psyching themselves out. They're setting the standard too high when it's not realistic for the amount of time, but that's only because they don't have enough time. Start with something. I would always advise, in terms of getting clarity on a blot, if once you obviously work to get Shaka Vitaria down, but at the end of the day, a walk away from a blot, whatever you're learning, you should be able to say, how many sugyas were on each amid? How many sugyas were there on each amid? Just asking yourself, how many sugyas are on each amid, and writing down what were the main sugyas in the amid, that's a basic clarity of the blot. How many basic sugyas are you covering? And again, I would write it down on a piece of paper. The reason why I would write down on a separate piece of paper, I'm a big fan of note-taking. I actually train students how to take notes. I train over 30,000 students how to a note-taking system, how to take notes to make things clear. But note-taking is exceptionally efficient. Because the easiest way to get an organized mind is to organize things clearly on paper. It's much more efficient to be able to review what was covered in the Gemara on a piece of paper where you have a list, instead of flipping through the blot and trying to see the sugyas from the blot, especially if you don't have a lot of time to do that. It's much easier just have a list and just keep a piece of paper. And today I'm going to write down two topics, and tomorrow the next topic. And on this one sheet of paper in your brain, you see now, over time, a lot of blotting. It's very easy. And the idea is that this is the easiest, most effective way to organize your mind. That's what we're doing in terms of time. Before I conclude, any questions? I want to just review. The standard that we set, the Torah sets for us, is part of being Mekabel Olmach Shemayim is Vishinantum Menecha. Vishinantum, you have to master, you have to know things, so you answer the question immediately. You should not be Megamgem, you shouldn't have an ha. What's the key to be able to attain such a standard? I believe it's organization. Organizing things is the fastest way to get to clarity, and that's going to facilitate your memory in an expert type of way because you're going to see structure. You're always going to be fitting things in to a certain place. You have the table of contents, then things are going somewhere in your brain. They have an address. The key to organization is summarizing and coming up with simanim. Simanim is we often see them in the Gemara, but that's not the type of simanim I'm talking about. I'm talking about just coming up with labels, summaries. What are we discussing here? So you're keeping track of it, so your mind is being masader, the inyanim. So instead of experiencing what we call learning blur, you pick up the blot and everything, the entire daf unravels. Instead, you're walking away in your brain with two topics, three topics, four topics, and that's the way you're going to access what's on a daf much more directly, much more effectively, much more efficiently. It says in the first part of the Shema, Vishinantim v'nechol v'di bartzabon. So I ask a question. Shouldn't it be the other way? Shouldn't it be first the bar tabam, you talk Torah, and then the next step is vishinantam menecha. Why do we say vishinantam menecha, teach your children or your talminim, and then vidi bar tabam? First, you are a dibar tabam, you speak in Torah, and then you give it over to your talminim or your children. So I want to suggest that you'll never be a dibar tabam. People don't become dibar tabams unless it's, you know it. People don't talk about things that they do not master. People love to talk about things they know well. That's just the nature of things. And therefore, the only way Klal Yisrael becomes a nation of a dibartabam, that wherever we go, wherever we are at any time, we're talking Torah, is because we've got it, Lashon Chidur, we've got it down sharply, because when we know things that well and clearly, we love to talk about it, because we're only enriching ourselves the more we talk about it, and that's the way Klal Yisrael will thrive as a society. I want to conclude with one. The first Gemara, the many boys who are in El Metzias. We know the first Mishnah and the second paragraph of Ba-Metziah is El Metzias Shalom, El Metzias Chai V'Chafri. The Metzias, which of eight is when you find, can you keep? Which do you have to announce to other people? And the Mishnah has a list of 11 different things. And the first is peros, scattered fruit. So the Gemara declares, how much qualifies as scattered fruit? So that Gemara asks, well, if the fruit is set in an orderly fashion, you can't take it, even if it's smaller than amount or a larger amount, because it's organized. Someone obviously left it there. And if it's scattered, even a smaller amount, you should be able to take. It's scattered, it's lost. So the Gemara answers, well, actually, it's neither. It's someone was in the threshing floor, and they just decided that their daga and their wheat was kind of on the scattered over the floor, and they said, I don't want to pick it up. It's, kabar ba'amos, it's too much of tircha, and he leaves it. And the Gemara calls that an aveda madas. An aveda madas. It wasn't really a lost object. It was something that someone intentionally left there, so he left it there with das. It was an aveda madas. So then the Gemara asks, well, what about different permutations? Chetzi kab b'shtei amos, or kabayim ba'ashmona amos, or different types of fruits. And the Gemara keeps going, well, is it an issue there because it's so scattered that it's a tircha, or because maybe it's not valuable enough? You're not going to do it. What's the inyan? How do we qualify when someone has left it there, or when you can assume you can pick it up and it's an aveda madas? And the answer is take it, right? So I want to suggest, why is this the first gemara that many boys learn in learning? And there's a number of reasons. This is a suggestion. I haven't seen this, but I'd like to suggest one reason why this could be the first gemara is because when things are scattered, then it's a tircha to pick them up. And then it becomes an aveda madas. If our learning is scattered, if we learn something, but we're not trying to put things together and organize it in a masudic way, then guess what? Going back over it again is a tircha. And you just it becomes an aveda madas. And a lot of learning becomes an aveda madas. Unnecessarily, all we have to do is take 1 minute after a Seder, and ask yourselves, what's the walk away? What am I walking away with this thing? What is the issue that we discussed? And if I can't remember everything, that doesn't mean you can't remember anything. What's my walk away from this? And write it down. Write it down, keep it on a notebook, a piece of paper, wait till you fill up the piece of paper, and that's, you'll be amazed, is that's the way you have an amazing memory. Our minds are amazing. You don't need any better memory than you currently have. I always tell people, if you don't remember something, it doesn't mean you don't have a great memory. It just means your brain isn't seeing a connection. It's not seeing things how to connect. You connect the dots. Your brain is a marvelous thing. It'll hold on to it for you because you've delivered the goods, the content, in an organized way. So I want to thank you very much for this opportunity to be here. I wish you a tremendous hatzlacha and joy in your learning, and you should be zocha to be mechaim every day. Mishnah Tzimavanel.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good.